This shiur is dedicated by Rabbi Avram Yachnis in commemoration of Rabbi Yachnis' Rebbe, Hagaon HaRav Henoch Leibowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. May the Rav's memory and all that he stood for be a blessing for the world forever.
Okay, gentlemen, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we are continuing and hopefully completing the Shar HaGaiva. We're on Daf Chof Aleph in Shar HaGaiva on the bottom of the page. This is CD number 26 and Shar HaGaiva, Shir number 8. We are going to be introduced this evening to, believe it or not, Gaiva, which is good, good Gaiva. HaGaiva, bottom of the page, HaGaiva b'malas ha-chokhmehi meshubachas. Gaiva, haughtiness, in terms of one's quality of wisdom, meshubachas, is praiseworthy. This, of course, is because he attributes the success in his chokhmah to Hashem. That's why it is praiseworthy, and as he will explain, Shenema, as it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Anovi, ki im bezos yishalel hamishalel, but with this, would the praised one be praised? Haskel v'yadoa osi, wisen up, and yadoa osi, and get to know me. So the Metzudas David explains this pasuk to mean that a person deserves praise if he recognizes and knows that all that he attains is from Hashem. This kind of person deserves praise. V'yosef odola bari baruchu, and this person increases his thanks to Hashem. Al shechanono dea v'haskel umidos tovos. The fact that Hashem has granted him the wisdom, the understanding, and good character, b'tfilas ha-chokhma, with the special prayer, the special tefillah of wisdom, moda ani lefanecha, I thank you, she'samta chelki miyoshvei beis hamedrash, that you have given me my portion amongst those who sit in the beis medrash, v'losamti chelki miyoshvei koronos, and my portion is not amongst those who sit in the corners. In other words, people who sit around and shoot the breeze on street corners or in the corners of the beis medrash. And this, you may be familiar, is a tefillah that one says at the end of completing a masechta or doing a siyam. So this is a special tefillah that he's thanking Hashem for granting him the ability to be able to accomplish what he did. Uchamo, and furthermore, Ashrenu Matov Chalkeinu, praised are we, how good is our chelek, umanoyim goroleinu, and how wonderful is our gorol, our lot, v'alzeh ne'ma. And about this kind of person, it says, v'yikba libo b'darkei Hashem. His heart was uplifted in the ways of Hashem. And Rashi explains that the feeling of pride, that the only path he took was in the ways of Hashem. That is a kosher feeling of pride. Call it gaiva. Obviously, it's a different kind of gaiva than we're used to hearing about. But it's a sense of pride that a person recognizes that he has chosen a way of life to go in the path of Hashem. The second line on the top: Ki yeh adam yekaruach ugvar leiv beinyonei haolam haba. That the person has this feeling of preciousness, of pride, in the matters of the world to come, of olam haba, meaning the Torah and the mitzvahs and the mas and tovim, which brings one to olam haba, and he feels proud about that. That's fine. That's good. And that could be used in a manner, in a way, to encourage the person to continue. Shlo yaspik lo b'mashi is damein lo. He is not satisfied with anything that he has already attained. V'lo yomar, and he doesn't say to himself, "Dai b'mashi atimso yodu mehem." It is enough. Dai as in dayenu. It's enough. I've accomplished plenty already. Ela yimat be'enav kol maseyu. But just the opposite. He feels that in his eyes it is just a drop in the bucket, all of his actions. V'tigba nafsho l'malatomid, and he aspires always to a higher attribute, to a higher level. V'yisrayim b'nafsho, and he takes himself to task. Mimashe mekatzer mavodas ha-borech, Baruch Hu, if in any way he falls short in his divine service. This kind of gaiva, this kind of haughtiness is not detrimental to humility whatsoever. Ah! However, misayato, it will assist him vigoremeslo, and it will cause lismoach b'malos hatovos to be sad, to be happy, to rejoice in the good qualities, v'lismoach b'chvot chaverov, and to rejoice in the honor of his friends, v'lochus al kavodom, and be concerned with the honor that is due to his friends. In other words, the humility that he has, and the fact that he recognizes that everything comes from Hashem, and he has yet, although he can be proud of the fact that he has accomplished a lot, but in comparison to what he has yet to accomplish, he is far from his goal, and he recognizes that whatever he has accomplished comes from Hashem. That humility allows him to grant honor to those of his friends who deserve it. See, a person who is filled with just the treif kind of haughtiness, with the false kind of pride, and the fact that I pats himself on the back and it goes to his head, the fact that he has accomplished so much, this kind of person cannot share in the honor, cannot allow, stand by idly whilst a friend of his is worthy of honor and give it to him, because it doesn't allow him. But a person who has the kosher kind of gaiva, and gaiva means a sense of pride that he has accomplished, but it came from Hashem and he has yet plenty to go, this kind of person could give honor to someone else who deserves it. There are times that a person, of course, if he understands himself well enough and knows his greatness, there's a famous maaser that most people know, although most people don't know the second half of the story. You know, there was this years ago, talking about the late 1800s probably, where Rabbi Yisrael, there was a disease spreading throughout the masses, and fever? What's it called? Typhoid fever, I believe it was. Typhus fever. And it was on Yom Kippur, and in order for people to stay healthy, they had to eat. And Rabbi Saul Salanta paskin that the people should eat. And everyone was, what? On Yom Kippur eat? How could it be? And to prove his point, he got up himself in shul on Yom Kippur and filled a cup of wine. He made kiddush and he drank the wine in front of everybody, to show that this is serious stuff. I'm poskening, you know, you have to. So that's the part of the story that most people know. But there was the rest of the story, as they say, that Motzoi Yom Kippur, he was sitting in his house breaking the fast, the rest of the fast, and there was a pounding on the door. And many Rabbonim of neighboring towns had heard of what they considered to be a travesty of the Torah. And they said, how can you do such a thing? Who do you think? Rabbi Yisrael at that time was not even as old as a young man. He wasn't as old as they were. And how can you do such a thing, eating Yom Kippur, make a public demonstration of it? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said to them, and this I heard, by the way, from my Rosh Hashiva, Zochanel Avracha, who heard it from his father, his Rebbe, who heard it from the Alta von Slabotka, who heard it from Rabitzel of Petterberg, who was the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. So it's a pretty direct line. And the end of the story was that Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said to them, Rabbonim, if you want to accept what I say, fine, let's leave in peace. If you want to have it out with me, we'll begin, and I will prove to you that every get that you officiated for your entire careers is invalid. Were invalid. I'll show you how the gittin and all the babies born from the marriages that were done as a result of your gittin are mamzerim. Do you still want to have it out with me? Rabbi Yisrael said. And they realized who they were dealing with. They turned around and left. And so obviously it may seem as gaiva, haughtiness from the side of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, but there are times that you have to spread your wings. You have to be Reb Chaim Brisk, you have to be Reb Shlomo Salanta to be able to, you better know your stuff. But you see that's not a contradiction with humility. Okay, let's go on to the next paragraph. Hagaiva has another kind of gaiva, which is a good gaiva. Hagaiva neged harishom hi mishubachas miyod. Gaiva versus rishoim. That means the evil is very praiseworthy. Ula hochicham, we have to be very careful with this gentleman, the hochicham. Ula hachlim osam, to reprimand them, And lahachlem osa means to embarrass them. Now you have to be very careful, we've mentioned this many times, that first of all in the Torah it says in reference to tochacha, reprimand, hocheach tochiach asamisecha. And one of the great Bali Musa, and I don't remember who it was, it could be that it was, I don't know, maybe Rabbi Chaim Voloshin, I don't remember who it was that says that the Torah seems to add an extra word, hocheach tochiach, to an extra word, tochiach, to teach us the lesson that when you're reprimanding someone, do it in piecemeal. Don't give it to them all at once. Relax. A little here, a little there. Hocheach tochiach. The Chofetz Chaim, there's a mice with the Chofetz Chaim, that a local Rav came to him that explaining to him that the people in his community were acting improperly. And Chofetz Chaim asked him, "No, how did you handle it?" He said, "A few weeks ago, I got up and from the drasha, you know, on Shabbos, and I spoke about the union." "No, so what happened?" "It continued." "No, so what'd you do?" "Well, the next Shabbos, I raised my voice a little louder." "And now what happened?" "It still continued." "The third Shabbos, by the third Shabbos," he says to the Chofetz Chaim, "wow, did I blast them. I yelled and screamed bloody murder, you better stop." "No, and what happened?" "That's why I'm here. Nothing happened. In fact, it got worse. So, was tutman? What do you do?" He says to the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim says, "Let me ask you, when you put your tefillin on in the morning, you say the Baruch Asher Kedishom Mesos V'Tzivanu, Laniach Tefillin. How do you say it? You say the words or you scream the words, bloody murder? Are you yelling? Or you say the words? You say the words, oh, mitzvah, Laniach Tefillin, you say the mitzvah. Tochacha, reprimand, is one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. You do it like any other mitzvah. You put your talis on, you make a bracha, calmly, nicely. Right? You eat food, you make a bracha. You put your tefillin on, you make a bracha. Any other mitzvah, you sit down, you do what you have to do, and you shake a lulav and esrog, you do it like a mensch." He says, "Why do you think just because this mitzvah happens to be reprimanded, you yell and scream? And no wonder they're not listening to you. You're not performing the mitzvah properly." So anytime we discuss an inyan of being mochiach, we have to be very careful, and especially the second part of the sentence that says, ulahachlem osam, and to embarrass them. You know, the hamal ben pnei chaver in lo cholak lo maba. A person who embarrasses someone publicly loses his portion of the world to come. At the end of the very pasuk that talks about reprimand, ochiach tochiach samisecha, and then it says lo sisa olav chait, and don't carry with it a sin. What sin? The sin of embarrassing a person needlessly. So anytime we consider, you know, giving it to someone, you know, zayv mazak, you know, lemme Adam. We got to be very careful. He's just the, in terms of the concept of haughtiness, there is a time and place, done the right way, that a person has to have the sense of pride or haughtiness, so to speak, when it's against the Rishonim to straighten them out. Let's continue the next line in the paragraph. Okay? Don't bow to them. Instruct them, these sinners, about how to do good. And warn them against doing bad to the amount of your ability. Even though it may appear to others as you're showing rulership and you're showing haughtiness, since you mean it for the sake of heaven, you are sincere in what you're intending to do, Meshubach is considered praiseworthy. Do not humble yourself in front of Rishoim, we know when it came to bowing down to Haman, Mordechai stood out in the crowd, so to speak, and he did not bow to him. Again, let's be careful, because Haman is one of the few people in Tanakh, in our history, is referred to as labeled a Rasha. Very few people are called a Rasha. So before we get on the bandwagon, so to speak, to reprimand a Rasha, you got to be very careful. Haman was a Rasha. Any situation where it's a mitzvah to do what you have to do, never leave the good, and because of the hashpala, so because you feel subservient before these rishonim. V'zeh tzarech chochma, and here he clarifies, this requires great wisdom. Masa yistoria negda mitvar mitzvah. When should we show rulership against those rishonim when it comes to a mitzvah? Ki pe'amim, because there are times, and listen to this very carefully, there are times, it's not worth standing up against people. If you show arrogance against them because of one mitzvah, you could end up losing 100 mitzvahs in its place. And about this, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Altan kasil ki valto." One pasuk he says, "Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness." V'yomar, and then he says a different pasuk, "Ane kasi ki valto." You should answer a fool according to his foolishness. V'heim rishoim kasilim, and they are fools and they are rishoim. So what do you mean? First you say answer them like they're foolish, and then you say don't answer them like they're foolish. Which one is it? It's obvious that there are times you do it and there are times you absolutely don't do it. The kach tzarech chacham lisbon, and therefore the wise person has to contemplate and search into the issue. Lefi tzarech hashov inyan, according to the need of the time and the issue. Lefi ze yisade maisav, and accordingly he should go along the proper path. There are certain times you leave it alone, and certain times you absolutely do not leave it alone. And the person has to physically and monetarily and with all his power stand up against them and don't bow to them if it's the right time. Everything we've spoken until now, this refers to a mitzvah. People are not keeping Shabbos properly. People are not eating kosher properly. They're not acting properly. Fine. This is for a dvar mitzvah. But listen to these two last lines. Aval b'inyan masu matan. But when it comes to money matters, yikana lifneihem. Humble ourselves before them. V'yaseimei mohem lifnei mishuras hadin. V'chol davar. And go beyond the letter of the law in every situation. V'zohi mitzvah gedola. And this is considered a mitzvah gedola. Now this is not easy to understand. And because, wait a second, if somebody's trying to rip you off, and are you supposed to stand by idly and let them walk away with $1 million that you feel rightfully belongs to you? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean if at any time there's room to maneuver and find some kind of compromise or look away, because you know what money, you know, makes us see things a little bit crookedly. So anytime money is involved, you got to be extra careful, and you're better off. And he says a mitzvah gedola just to either look away if possible or to compromise if possible. But when it comes to a devar mitzvah, you have to be careful. Again, there are times you do it, and there are times you don't do it. I would suggest, gentlemen, situation comes up like this, that we all consult with a Talmud Chacham, with a Gadol, if need be. I can only tell you from my own experience that I once had that it was a tremendous bizyonos HaTorah that I witnessed, and it was a desecration to Hashem's name. And I was in the position to quote unquote go to war over it, and I consulted with Gedolim on it, and they told me that it's beneath my dignity to do so. I shouldn't go to war over it, and even though they felt you will win, you'll go to war. You will win, but it's sapasnished. And you don't do it. Now, on my own, I would have thought, what do you mean? It's a matter of Torah and desecration of Hashem, and who knows, and it affected many people, and it could affect many people in the future. So I would say to my own, what do you mean? Go to war. And I was advised, and of course, Baruch Hashem, I followed the advice of the Gedolim. They said, forget it, let it go, and that's it. It's God's world. Hashem will take care of his business. And whatever's going to happen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Sometimes it requires patience, because we want it to be settled a week later sometimes, or maybe a year later. And for all we know, it won't even be during our lifetime that it's that Hashem, you know, lets it come out in the wash. But we have to have that bitachon, emunah Hashem, that it's going to happen. Okay, gentlemen, I think we'll call it quits now, and Mirz Hashem will resume next week.